And powerful. Well, we thank God for this morning, and today I just want to continue sharing with you the message I've been sharing for a couple of weeks, amen, about the anointing, amen. And I think the first message we were talking about why it is important for you to be anointed, amen, just as an individual, as a regular person, you also need the anointing on your life. Amen. And then last time we started talking about 15 powerful effects of the anointing on a person. Hallelujah. That if a person is anointed, there are 15 powerful effects in his life. There are 15 powerful advantages, benefits, and blessings that come to you because you are anointed. Amen. So we started number one. I think I gave you number one and number two, isn't it? Can you check your notes, please? I did. I gave you number one and I gave you number two, isn't it? Okay, so number one is what? Supernatural help for your life. Amen. That if you're anointed, you will have supernatural help for your life. You will have supernatural, extraordinary help for your life. Amen. You will get out and escape from some very tight corners in life. When the enemy thinks that he has cornered you, you will just slip out because you are anointed. Amen. The anointing makes you very slippery. The oil on your life makes you very slippery and difficult to capture and corner. Hallelujah. So God will cause you to receive supernatural help when you are anointed. Then number two, what is number two? The anointing, it will cause you to be raised up to heights in life, or it will cause you to be elevated in life. Amen. The anointing will cause you to be elevated. The anointing will lift you up. Amen. And you should believe it. That is why you must desire to be anointed. So all through this message, I think I am making it quite clear that the anointing is not just for preachers, isn't it? What is coming out quite clearly is that the anointing is not just for preaching. It's not just for doing the work of God. It is also something you need for daily and regular everyday living. Hallelujah. So today I want to continue number three. You know, the anointing will establish you in this life. The anointing will establish you in this life. Amen. The anointing will cause you to be established. The anointing will cause you to be settled. Amen. The anointing will cause you to be stable and established. Hallelujah. One of the common things in life is that you meet a lot of people who are not stable or are not established. You know, it's like your life is hanging in a balance and depending on so many different variables that you don't control. Hallelujah. And so you find that you can never be sure. Do you understand? You can never be sure. In fact, let me show you another verse that aptly describes what I'm talking about. It's in Isaiah chapter 28. I think the book of Isaiah chapter 28. Let me Isaiah chapter 28, and I will give you a verse soon. Right. No, it's not. It's not Isaiah chapter 28. Let me. Wow, Holy Spirit, where's this verse? Okay. Anyhow, it's Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm sorry. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I've got it. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 65. You see a very interesting curse over there. It says, among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. Do you understand? Right? God was showing his people a number of curses that will come upon them, you know, if they didn't obey them. And one of them, from verse 64, the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even unto another, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Verse 65, and among these nations shalt thou find no ease. You get it? You will not find ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. That means you are moving all the time. Do you get it? Then it says, there a trembling heart and failing of eyes. You know, so that is speaking of anxiety. Do you see? And sorrow of mind. That is depression. Isn't it? And happiness. Now verse 66 sums it all up. It says, thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. Hallelujah. Can you see that? This is what we call instability. Do you understand? And this is the plight of a person who is not established, a person who is not settled, a person who has not experienced that unique benefit that comes from the anointing. Hallelujah. And so, back to what we're talking about, we've been sharing most of this from Psalm 89. So you see in Psalm 89 and verse 20 to 21, it says, I have found David, my servant, with whom my holy oil, with my holy oil, I have anointed him, with whom my hand will be established. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 21, with whom my hand shall be established. Hallelujah. So I want you to know that the anointing is going to remove the unsettled nature of your life. Hallelujah. Being anointed is going to cause that restlessness to cease. Amen. It says that you will not know ease every time you are on the road, every time you are on the run. Do you understand? You're every time there's some new something, you never come to that place where the Bible description is where the sole of your feet have found rest. That means they are not being used anymore. Hallelujah. You're not constantly running. You're not constantly relocating. You're not constantly changing jobs. You're not constantly doing so many things. The anointing in your life can cause you to come to that place of rest where you are settled and established. Hallelujah. Say, I will be settled. Say, I will be established because I'm becoming anointed. Hallelujah. How can you? Isn't that a very powerful blessing? It's a very powerful blessing. Your life must not hang in doubt before thee. Amen. Your life must not hang before thee in doubt. You know, not knowing what is going to become of you. That what is going to, what is your life going to amount to in the end? How are things going to go? Amen. But you will always have assurance. You will always be assured in your heart that it is well with you. Amen. No matter what is happening around you, you will know that indeed your life is not just has not just been left, you know, at the mercy of just happenstance and chance happenings. Amen. But that God is with you. Amen. And you have assurance and settlement in your spirit and in your mind that all is well. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. I didn't hear that. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Powerful. So that was number what? Three. Then number four, the anointing will introduce strength to your life. Hallelujah. And as you can see right there in verse 21, it says, mine arm also shall strengthen him. My arm also shall strengthen him. Hallelujah. So the anointing is going to introduce strength to your life. Hallelujah. Many of us need strength. Amen. We need strength. Many times, our minds are full of good ideas, just no strength to pursue them. Amen. No strength to pursue them, either because you have tried it so many times and it has not worked. You have seen so many people try it and it didn't work, you know, that you feel tired. Even the thought of doing this just tires you before you start. Hallelujah. You are lacking might and strength. You don't have that inner energy that causes you to rise up and conquer, rise up and move forward, rise up and try something new, rise up and step forward, rise up and attempt something you have never attempted before. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? You know it's good, but you don't feel like trying it, period. And sometimes it gets so difficult for people that even things that are very necessary, like applying for a job, do you understand? They just can't bring themselves to do it anymore. Do you understand? When the door has been closed in your face so many times, when you've been refused so many times. You know, yesterday I was speaking to somebody who was telling me that she is an engineer. And she finished her master's degree, I think about 5 or so years ago. And she said she has been looking for a job from that time till now. I said, wow. You know, when you've been looking for a job for 5 years, 5 years is like from the time she was born. Where is she? Can you come, please? Come. How old are you, can you? Ah, come. Perfect. Can you imagine? From the time she was born, when you finished school, we're just naming her from the time you finished school. And then can you came from here through there, do you see, and came through here, isn't it? And now, look at her, you still don't have a job. So if somebody comes to you, thank you, you can sit down. Wow. If somebody comes to you and now they say, listen, they say they are opening some new office in this place. Can you imagine how many times you would have heard that in 5 years? Do you understand? Say they are hiring people in such and such a place, or some new jobs in such and such a place. Sometimes they say there's a new course then they are hiring people for that course. So you run to go and do that course. By the time you finish, they finish hiring the people. Because when people started applying for the job, you are now going to start going to school to learn how to do the job and come and apply. So by the time you came, they had finished hiring people. Hallelujah. So you can see that you can get to a place where now to muster the courage and just what it takes to put yourself together and go back out there and fight until you win the battle. You see that your strength is finished. Do you understand? Your battles have outlasted your strength. You know, your days are longer than your strength to survive them. But the blessing of the Lord is that as your days, so will your strength be. Hallelujah. That means as long as the challenges remain, God is committed to strengthening you until the battle is over. Hallelujah. Until the battle ends, God is committed to strengthening you until then. And the thing that does that is the anointing. God anoints you. When you are anointed, you will have strength. He says, my arm also shall strengthen him. God will strengthen you. Hallelujah. God will strengthen you. God will give you strength on the inside. But let me show you another verse. Go to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. You know, the Isaiah chapter 61. Maybe before that one, let's read Romans chapter 7 first. Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, you can see a good example of someone who is struggling. You know, struggling even with himself. Do you see? Struggling because he finds himself doing the things he doesn't want to do. And the things he wants to do, he cannot do them. That is another thing that happens to you when you don't have might. You don't have strength. Hallelujah. So look at it from verse 15. Romans chapter 7 from verse 15. He's saying, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I. You know, can you change the system? It's early in the morning. You've brought me the strong verses that I cannot even read them. Hallelujah. Right. So what are you going to give us? Did you change it? Give us New American Standard. Okay. Yeah. Loosen the English and the language a little bit. Now you see legal claims. You know you're coming into something you can understand. Hallelujah. Well, have you found it? Romans chapter 7, verse 15. 15 is what I want. That which I do, I allow. Hey, what a word. Okay. For I do not understand my own actions. I think you understand this. Do you understand this? Okay. So it's no longer that which I do that I allow. All right. Listen. I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled. I am bewildered. Let me ask you, have you ever been there before? Tell me. Because if you haven't been there, there's no point in reading this. Because it doesn't apply to you. Is there anyone here today who has found themselves in a place where they do not understand their own actions? Raise up your hand, let me see. Yeah. Yeah. So you are not alone. This is Apostle Paul. He says, I don't get it. I don't get it. I am baffled, bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish what I wish, but I do the very thing that I loathe. Do you understand? Which my moral instinct condemns. Hallelujah. What I don't like, that is what I do. What I know I should do, I cannot practice that. Do you understand? Go on to the next verse. Go on to the next verse. Verse 16. Now, if I do habitually what is contrary to my desire, that means that I acknowledge and agree that the law is good, morally excellent. You know, this thing is also a bit too much. So, Do you have New American Standard Version? That's what you're using. No, this is Amplified Version, I think. New American. Yeah. Let's keep it simple. When we have a camp, we'll use this version. Then we have a lot of time and we'll be able to understand it properly. Amen. But I'm just trying to bring a very simple truth across to you. And I pray that God will open your hearts and minds to understand it. Amen. God will open your spirit to grasp what we are sharing here. That for what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do. But I'm doing the very thing I hate. Okay? Then it says, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Okay? Verse 18. Is it coming? All right. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. Hallelujah. Is that true with anybody here today? Yeah, that sometimes the willing is present. I know I'm willing. I'm willing to get up and pray. Yes, I'm willing to read my Bible. Are you willing to read your Bible? Yeah, so the willing is present with you, but the doing is not present with you. Hallelujah. He says, the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the next verse 20. Shegun, is it possible to have your... How can we do it? So it's just an arrow and you just push it up. Is there anything like that in technology? Hallelujah. Right. So he says, that's verse 18. For I know that nothing... Where are we? We should be at 20, isn't it? Is there? Okay. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. Do you see? So it's almost like there are two people talking. Do you understand? There is the part of you that knows what is right and that wants to do it. Then there's a part of you that knows what is right, but does not want to do it. Do you understand? And everybody is a moving war. And this is the nature of the battle that continues to rage inside us all the time. Do you understand? Which is that we are always wrestling and always struggling with things we know we should do, but which we find ourselves unable to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Now that is the thing that you need strength to overcome. Hallelujah. You see people who have habits that they know are destroying them. Hallelujah. I remember one gentleman I was speaking to a few years ago, and he was smoking. You see, he was smoking, and each time he would, you know, just pull on the smoke like that, he would cough. You know, and the cough, I mean, if the sound of it, even if you were not a doctor, you knew that something was terribly wrong. Hallelujah. You know how somebody can drive their car here, and then when you hear the sound of the engine, you just know that something like Akwesi's for my car. You just hear the sound, and you know, you're not an engineer, you don't know anything about cars, but you know this car is a problem. Hallelujah. So, the same way the guy would cough. Hey. And I was just thinking, this man, is he not about to die or something like that? You know, but he would still, right after that, just take the thing again and he smokes. Then he tells somebody, he tells one of his workers who was trying to smoke, he said, don't be like me. He said, don't be like me. Don't be like me. This man was, you know, the boss. He was an elderly person in the place. And he tells the young guys, don't be like me. Don't be like me. You know. In fact, one day he gave me the calculation of the number of cigarettes he smokes in a day. And then he calculated it. And he said that since he started smoking till now, he has smoked $55,000. Yeah, so he has smoked $55,000. You know, so he's been smoking, and he knows it's not good for him. So much so that he advises younger people not to do it. So he tells them, don't be like me, don't be like me. But he himself, he cannot stop it. Do you understand? He cannot stop it because he doesn't have the might. Hallelujah. Same thing goes for some of the things that we struggle with. There is something the Bible calls the sin that easily besets you. It's like there are so many things in your Christian life that you seem to have victory over. But there seems to be this one thing called the sin that easily besets you. This particular one, when the devil rolls it your way, you always trip over it and you fall. Hallelujah. And so you need might, you need strength, you need the anointing to be able to overcome such things so that you can do the good that you know you should do and abstain from the evil that you know you shouldn't be doing. But then where are you going to get the strength from? Hallelujah. And that strength is what you get when you have the anointing. So in Isaiah chapter 61, which we were going to read, Isaiah chapter 61, you read this. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. You see, the Spirit of the Lord, is it coming? Okay, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Can you see that? The Lord has done what? He has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to bring freedom to prisoners. Hallelujah. So the anointing brings freedom to prisoners. People who have been captured by habits, captured by behaviors, captured by attitudes that they cannot get away from. Hallelujah. You know you are very quarrelsome and it's too much. You know it, but you can't stop. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. One day somebody asked me, because he was quarreling, and I was telling him that, look, you are rude in the way you talk. You when you start talking, you just come across very rudely. Then later on, he sent me a text asking me that, you know, this rudeness, do you have any advice on how I can gain control over it? Did you understand? Then he asked me that, oh, he comes from a particular tribe, you know, and he said, oh, could it be that it's because I come from this tribe? I said, no, you are saying this. Hallelujah. You are saying this yourself. But he was asking me that, is it possible, this rudeness, can you give me some advice, you know, on how to just get rid of this behavior? See, he can't do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? He can't do it. He knows it shouldn't be. He can't do it. But the Bible says that the anointing on a person brings freedom to the captives. Now look at verse 2. Verse 2 says that the anointing, it says to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. You see, this is the Spirit of the Lord is on the person and is the effect of it. It says to comfort all who mourn. And then the next one, you know, it says to grant to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Do you see? So the anointing has the effect of helping you to overcome, you know, mourning. Mourning, you know. And when we say mourning here, It is deeper than just the normal mourning that comes when someone has lost a loved one or something like that. But there are many of us who live in perpetual mourning, always depressed, a spirit of heaviness always around us, feeling low, feeling unhappy, you know. And it's not a temporal situation, because everybody goes through a patch of your life where something of a temporary nature just happens and upsets you a little bit, maybe for a day, maybe for 2 days or something. And then you start, when you see your favorite meal, you just start to come alive again, and your whole spirit is lifted up because of the food that has been made. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everybody has that season of their life. But then to be in a state where you are constantly and perpetually unhappy, you know, nothing can cheer you up, you know. And or every, there are some people, a certain period of every week or every month or every so often, you see that this thing seems to come upon you. And when it comes and descends upon you, you seem to be helpless against it. You cannot free yourself from it. But he says to appoint unto those, the anointing is upon him to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion. Zion is symbolic of the church. And he says that there are some mourners in the church. They go to church, but they are not happy. Hallelujah. To appoint to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Hallelujah. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. Then it says the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. Huh. There is such a thing as a spirit of fainting. And I'm not making it up. It's in your Bible. In other versions, it's called the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. He says the spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Can I have an amen? Amen. So what God has given us, the antidote to the spirit of heaviness, is the oil of mourning, the oil of joy, hallelujah, the oil of gladness. Can I have an amen? Amen. The oil of gladness, that is the antidote, that is the treatment that God has given us. So you see, in your life, you need to be anointed to be able to overcome that. Because, you know, there is no way you can avoid having situations that don't go your way. That's how life is. Hallelujah. Disappointments are a part of life. Do you understand? Things happen. Sometimes you expect the thing to go this way, then it goes that way. You expect the person to be like this, and he's like that. Do you understand? Yeah. You know, uncontrollables, things that affect you adversely and yet which you don't control the button to change. Because if you had the button and you could, you just press it like that, press it and even put something behind it so it stays inside there. See, never again do you pop out. But it turns out not to be so. But what is important, because the Bible says that all things really work out for your good. If you love God, the Bible says all things work together for your good, whether you can see it or not. Sometimes it's very difficult to see how this situation can lead to good. Hallelujah. It's very difficult to see it. But God says that it will work out for your good. So what the main problem is not the thing. As for the thing, it will come to add to something to work out for your good. But the main thing is how you fare while the thing is happening. Are you getting it? It's what happens to you. How does it leave you? In what state does it leave you? And also when it's having that effect on you, what are you losing in the process? Do you understand? Because sometimes the effect on you, that spirit of heaviness, sometimes it can drive everybody away from you. Do you understand? It can destroy marriages. It can make you, impossible to live with. Do you understand? It's like you have this thing that comes over you, and when it comes over you, you throw things around, you break things in the house, you grow so wild, you know. It's just something, and it makes it difficult for anybody to be around you. So you will see, you will drive away all the nice people, great people, nice people that God has put you in your life. You will see that all those people are leaving your life. For a reason or for something that was going to work out for your good anyway. Are you getting what I'm saying? So leave that thing alone and let's deal with you, because God is interested in how you fare while he's turning those things out for your good. And you must not be left at the mercy of the spirit of heaviness. So he has appointed for us the oil of joy. That means the anointing for gladness. The anointing can make you happy. It can make you smile and people will be surprised. When the anointing is on you, when you are anointed as a believer, you will be smiling when you should be crying. And everybody knows, but she doesn't have a job. Then they will say, she's not serious. That's why. She's not serious. Yeah, she's not serious. Because if she really was serious, she should be under some blanket by now, crying and screaming. No, she is serious. She is serious. But she knows better. Because there is an oil upon her that has rescued her from the spirit of heaviness. That's what has allowed her to still have conversations in spite of what is happening. It's allowed her to still come out and be with people and be in public, even to go to church. As you're going to church, the demons ask, hey, you're still going? You're still going? Huh? Is it not enough what is happening? So, yeah, I'm going. I'm going. I'm going to church. I'm going to church. I'm going to serve the Lord. Because there's an oil of joy that is on you. Somehow you are able to be happy in spite of what is going on. Hallelujah. Somebody was asking me the other day, so how are you able to continue all the time? How are you able to stay positive all the time? You know. And then I was saying to the person, I also have my share of difficult situations, but for some reason they don't seem to last. And I now understand that it is the anointing. The thing happens to you also just like anybody else. But the anointing just mops it up. You understand? And causes it not to have a lingering effect on you. And you see that you're out of it in just a short time. Hallelujah. One of the ways to activate the anointing is to pray in the Holy Ghost. When you start to pray in tongues, you activate the anointing around you. And very soon you start to see everything just disappears. And you begin to feel okay. Can I have an amen? Amen? Is it a good benefit from the anointing? Hallelujah. Amen? It says, it is the Spirit. Let me show you one more verse just to convince you fully. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 3. This is just a bonus verse. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3. Chapter 11 and verse 3. It says, to grant... No, it's not it. All right, Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 3. Then a shoot will spring. Okay, he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. Okay, you know what? Let me just leave this verse. Okay, yeah. Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord, verse 2, will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength. Did you see that? Right? He's saying that a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Then he goes to explain the components of the Spirit of the Lord. What is, when we say the Spirit of the Lord, what do we mean? Hallelujah. You see, the Spirit, the anointing is like a, it's like a multivitamin tablet. Do you understand? Yeah. So in that one tablet that you get, there are so many things. There's B, vitamin B, this, there's vitamin D, this, there's this one, there's this one, there's this one. Do you understand? And so when you swallow that one tablet, you have all those things. Right? So these are the details. This is the things that make up the Spirit of the Lord. Do you understand? And he's saying that the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, then the Spirit of counsel and strength. Hallelujah. All right. Then the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, which I guess we'll talk about later. Amen. Right. Now, next one. Hide this verse somewhere because we're going to come back to it at a point. The last one for today. The anointing will protect you from deception. The anointing will protect you from deception. Hallelujah. Now, deception is a very dangerous thing. Hallelujah. And the Bible teaches us that when someone is anointed, God will, or the anointing upon him, will deliver him also from deception. So Psalm 89 and verse 22. Psalm 89 and verse 22. Psalm 89 verse 22. It says, the enemy will not deceive him. Hallelujah. The enemy will not deceive him. Psalm 89. Yeah. The enemy will not deceive him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Hallelujah. I think I like this particular benefit of the anointing. What do you think? It means you cannot easily be tricked. Hallelujah. He's saying that the enemy will not deceive him. The enemy will not deceive him. The enemy will not deceive him. Oh, how we need this particular blessing, especially in the days in which we live. Hallelujah. You need an ability to be able to detect deception and lies. When someone is lying to you, when someone is deceiving you, see, God's spirit and the anointing on a person, it is able to deliver you from people. That's what the Bible says. When you read Proverbs chapter 2, go to Proverbs chapter 2 and let me quickly show you also from verse 15. Hallelujah. See, it's a church, so we have to have as many verses from the Bible as possible. What do you think? Is it a good idea? Okay, quickly, Proverbs chapter 2. Let me show you this one. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 15. Okay? Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, to deliver you from people, someone, well, if you read before, you see what he's talking about. But he's describing, says, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Do you want to read before that? Okay. Just so it makes sense, isn't it? So let's start from Proverbs chapter 2. Let's back up to maybe verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart. Hey. How did you escape here? Okay. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Hallelujah. Understanding shall keep thee. Do you remember that when we were reading Isaiah chapter, the last Isaiah verse was chapter 11, we read. Do you remember he was saying that the spirit of the Lord includes a spirit of knowledge and understanding? Do you understand? Now, he says that, and then it includes also the spirit of wisdom. Do you remember that? Yeah. Now, it says, when wisdom enters into thine heart, that means when the anointing comes upon you. Do you get it? And knowledge is pleasant to your soul. That means you love the anointing. Then discretion will preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. And then verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Hallelujah. And from the man that speaketh froward things. You know. Now the word froward is a word that describes someone who is willfully contrary. Do you get it? And someone who is difficult to manage. And the Bible says that you'll be delivered from people like that. You'll be delivered from the people who speak in a forward way. You see, he says, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. They leave the paths of doing the right thing to walk in the ways of darkness. And then who rejoice to do evil. They are happy when bad things are happening to people. And the delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Then verse 15. Whose ways are crooked. Can you see? And they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Which forsake the guide of her youth. And forgetteth the God, the covenant of her God. Hallelujah. Wow. Verse 19, none that go unto her return again. You know, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I want you to understand that the anointing will deliver you from deception. Hallelujah. Everybody has huge blind spots. Everybody has areas of your life that your eyes, you know, your understanding does not properly cover. Hallelujah. But the anointing is like having a blind spot alerter on your car. Do you understand? When you cannot see and you start to sway and you are starting to change lanes, and if you have that blind spot alert thing in the window, it comes on and says, beep, 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 beep. The thing is right there, even though you think it's not there. Hallelujah. It will deliver you from deception. Amen. Many of us have been deceived by people. People lie to us. People say they do and they don't. People say they will and they won't. People say they are and they are not. People say it is there and it is not. They say it will be and it will never be. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the anointing will give you a discerning ear and a discerning mind and a discerning eye to be able to see through things and to be able to tell. He says to deliver you from crooked men. Wow. Every single lady needs to have this particular antenna. You get it? It should be right here like that. Do you understand? An ability to decipher from all the nice raps that you are hearing. You should be able to get a blind spot alert. Beep, 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 beep. It's nice, but it's not true. Hallelujah. Same thing with single brothers. Do you understand? It says to deliver you from strange women who flatter with their lips. Wow. As they are rapping you and saying nice things to you. So nobody has treated me the way you have treated me. It's not true. It's not true. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? How many feel that we need the anointing for daily living? Every day. We're not talking about preaching. Preaching is only one small part. It's one part of what the anointing does. But you need to be anointed for everyday living. Amen. We're going to continue next week. And I'm going to show you more. I'm giving you 15 powerful effects. How many have you got so far? Only five? Oh. All right. Well, next week we'll continue. I'll try to see if I can give you the rest next week. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's pray, bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Why don't you bow your heads, everybody, and just pray and say, Lord, I want this anointing. I want your anointing to come upon my life. Just pray, everybody. Just lift up both of your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, please, I want this anointing. I need your spirit. I need your spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Makabo shama mama shandare beba labo shandaria. Meko sokotoli mama mala babaro shandaria barababam. In the name of Jesus, we need your spirit, Lord. We need your anointing, Holy Spirit, to be upon us, because we need strength. We need strength. We need the spirit of might to come upon us. We need, Lord, we need that supernatural energy that you give. We need, oh God, strength. We need to be established, oh God. We need to be settled. We need the anointing to settle us, to establish us, and to give rest to the soles of our feet. Because we have moved around too long. Even as a church, Lord, we need the anointing to settle us. To settle us. Let your spirit come upon us to settle us. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we need the anointing to be able to detect deception so that we will not be deceived. In the name of Jesus. That the enemy will not deceive us. The enemy will not trick us. We will not fall for temptation. We will not fall for temptation in the name of Jesus. That we will not fall for the sin that so easily besets us in the name of Jesus. That the anointing will help us to see through things and to be able to see that this is the enemy in spite of the way it presents in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord, we are grateful in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Have your way. Come on, sing it, everybody. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Have your way. Come on, Lord, you are welcome. Lord, you are welcome in this place. Lord, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place. Have your way. Come on, move by your spirit. Come on, move by your spirit in this place. In this place, this place meaning your life. Move by your spirit in this place. By your spirit in this place, have your way. Come on, sing that again. Move by your spirit, move by your spirit in this place. Move by your spirit in this place. Move by your spirit in this place. Have your way. Come on, sing. Send your anointing. Send your anointing in this place. Send your anointing. Send your anointing in this place. Have your way. Come on, sing, everybody sing. Send your anointing, Lord. Come on. Send your anointing in this place. Send your anointing in this place. Send your anointing in this place. Have your way. Oh, yes, have your way, Lord. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way. Father, we are so grateful for this morning. We ask, Lord, that you send your anointing. We need the anointing. We need the Holy Spirit upon us. And you have promised, O God, that if we can give good gifts to our children, you will give much more the Holy Spirit to those who ask. I pray, Lord, this morning that your Spirit will come upon us afresh in the name of Jesus. Send your anointing in this place. Move by your Spirit in this place. Let your Spirit move to bring strength. Let your Spirit move to bring establishment. Oh God, we pray especially this morning for establishment. We pray that you will deliver your people, oh God, from moving around. Oh God, from being restless, from not having a home, not having an assurance of their lives, not knowing what tomorrow brings, and not knowing what will happen to them, not knowing what their future holds. In the name of Jesus, remove your people from that curse. Let the anointing transfer your people from that place to a place of establishment, to a place of settlement, to a place where the soles of their feet will find rest, to a place where they shall move no more, to a place where their lives can settle and take off. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will open every closed door. In the name of Jesus, any door that stands before any of your children today, a door that needs to be opened for them to move in unto the next step and the next stage of their lives, I pray that every such door that has remained closed this morning will yield and respond to the anointing in the name of Jesus. And that door will swing open now in Jesus' name. Let all such doors swing open in the name of Jesus. Let the enemy and the evil one, let the angel of death and destruction who stands behind that door to keep it closed, let that angel be dislodged right now in the name of Jesus. And may the Lord make a way. May you make a way. Make a way in jobs. Make a way in schools. Make a way in finances. Make a way in relationships. Make a way, O God, and bring your people to a place of establishment. In the name of Jesus, deliver also your people from deception. Deliver your people from crooked ways. Deliver them from ways that seem right to a man, but whose end is destruction. In the name of Jesus, deliver them from things that have a good appeal at the beginning, but which fill our mouths with gravel at the end. In the name of Jesus, deliver us from pleasantries that present well, but which incubate evil and backslidings and all kinds of misfortune for your people. In the name of Jesus, remove your people from such places. Remove your people from such places. Remove them from such paths, O God, as your anointing and your Spirit comes upon them. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray this morning for strength. We pray that we will be strengthened with might in the inner man. That internal strength that comes from God, that causes people to survive, that causes people to smile when their heads should be bowed down, that causes people to hold their heads up and hold it up high in spite of all the negative things that beset their lives. In spite of not having jobs, in spite of not having places to live, in spite of not having visas, in spite of not having children, in spite of not being married, in spite of not having money, in spite of not having all the desires and the things that our lives so need, even the basic necessities, oh God, I pray that into every such life that identifies with any of these things, Lord, you will begin to pour strength, begin to pour might, begin to pour strength, begin to pour might.
deep inside them. Cause them to rise up and be strong again. Cause them to smile again. Cause them to believe again. In the name of Jesus, let the spirit of might be activated in their lives. In the name of Jesus. What a blessing. Thank you for the anointing. We receive the anointing. Lift up your hand, everybody, and just receive His anointing. Just take in a deep breath. Just breathe in and out. And see, God is bringing His spirit into you. And God is exchanging your weakness for His strength. God is trading your sorrows for joy. The oil of joy is coming to replace the spirit of mourning in the name of Jesus. The disappointments, the brokenheartedness, God is healing them this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power. We thank you for a new anointing upon us today. Strength, renewed strength to go out and face the world again. To go out and interview again. To go out and apply again. To go out and try again. Because new strength and new zeal and new energy has come upon us this day. We thank you, Father, for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord.